Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 578 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, man. I am in the mood to play like retro games, dude. I don't know, man. It's like for the past like month or so, I've been like getting back into like the whole thing with the Dreamcast stuff. So yeah, buying the Dreamcast is one thing, and that was like 2 weeks ago. This past week, I did another purchase in regards to like Dreamcast related stuff. I acquired both Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Nice.
And the thing about those games is like Marvel vs. Capcom 1 complete in box is like over $80. And like Marvel vs. Capcom 2, that complete in box can sometimes reach over 150. But I didn't spend that in regards to getting both of them though. Now,
Good.
I did end up spending a little bit over $100 for both, but I did go through and did stuff on eBay that other people do almost all the time, and that's a stealth bid at the last second. So basically that's what happened. It's like I went through, I won an auction for Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I did like the last second bid with like about 5 seconds left or so, and I was the head bidder and stuff, and I won that.
Yeah.
Then thing is, there was another auction stuff that I've been looking at as well. Like both of these auctions I was looking at, right? So it's like I knew like hours beforehand, like, okay, if I get off later work this day and stuff, I'm gonna have a better chance to go for it and like see if they're still available. So I realized these auctions were like a few minutes apart. So I'm like, okay, if I win one, then I can actually go forth and go to see the other one if I can get that. And yeah, that's what ended up happening. It's from the
Nice.
same Bo I bought both of these games from the same dude that's selling it on eBay, just literally a couple minutes apart. And yeah, it's coming all the way from Kentucky, as my Dreamcast came out from like Georgia. So I'm pretty much getting games from the East Coast to try to get all the
Yeah.
way back here to the West. But dude, it's awesome to finally have these two, and they're pretty much their almost arcade perfect sort of like forms and stuff. Because that's the thing about the Dreamcast. It was known for a lot of their arcade perfect, like almost arcade perfect sort of like ports onto the system itself. And I do have some history with Marvel vs. Capcom 2, because this is the game that kind of led me to the decision from my father and stuff when I was like a teenager. I'm like, okay, I'm going to the store. I see a PlayStation. I see a Dreamcast and stuff like that. Might say, oh, you can only get one of the two here. And so I end up going with the PlayStation with SmackDown 2 Know Your Role over Dreamcast and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And so that decision in of itself kind of led me to like, okay, well, if ever I get this system and this, I need to get this game again, or at least try to get this game. And yeah, I'm happy to say that has been acquired, but this still hasn't deterred me from wanting to play Super Mario Wonder. That's going to be later on next week. But other than that, man, it's like it's just been like a regular like kind of work week and stuff. Lots of huge gaming news obviously happened throughout the week, man. But Tyler, how have you been?
Oh man, I'm doing terrible.
Oof.
I'm in a lot of pain right now. It's not fun. I got an infection on the back of my neck. Not sure how. And now I have a fucking giant fucking bump on the back of my fucking neck that hurts nonstop for the last
Ooh.
week now. So it's not fun. On very little sleep. Hurts to move. Hurts to walk. Hurts to do this podcast right now.
Oof.
It just everything hurts right now. I went to the doctor on Wednesday. That was very expensive. And on some antibiotics. Hopefully those fucking things kick in soon, 'cause about to go goddamn crazy here. But
Oof.
doctor said that while I'm on them, I can't drink beer, so I'm drinking water this week. So this is the sober nerds this week. So yeah, not other than that, doing all right. It'd just be nice if I could like move my head without wanting to cry. But other than that, it's been great. Gables doing fantastic. It's been a great week. Part of the reason it's been a great week, Gables, because we are 1 week closer to Extra Life. That's right. Extra Life
Yes.
is something that we do every year. Gables and I do. I think this is my 13th. This is Gables' 12th year, where we raise
Yeah.
money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Right.
You could pick the hospitals you want anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. What we do is we play games. It's usually the first Saturday of every November, but you can do it whenever you want. You don't have to do it then. You can break it up over days or whatever. But Gables and I always do it on that day, and we play games for 24 straight hours, and people
yeah.
donate to you for doing that. If you're interested in doing that yourself, check out extra-life.org. It's really, really great thing that's been going on. I think they've passed over we're getting close to $100 million at this point for them. So yeah, this is year 15. I did just get my Extra Life shirt in because I reached $200. So you get some cool little things when you hit like certain milestones. I think 75, you got a sticker. Fit 200, you get the shirt. 500, you get a silver medal. I got three of those, and then 1,000, you get a gold medal. I got two of those. So, so if you guys are interested in doing stuff like that, please check them out. If there's somebody you know that might be interested in doing something like that, let them know. Just tell your friends, share it out with everybody. Like I said, it's November 4th. You don't have to do it on that day. You don't have to do the whole 24 hours. You've got things going on, or you just can't do it. Don't push yourself too hard, especially if you got to work on Monday. Don't do that. It's hard. But if you can get Monday off, like that's what Gables and I are doing. We got Monday off.
Yep.
So we're going to use that day to like a recovery day, because Sunday is a wasted day. Sunday's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it is.
Yeah. So Gables like got a good trick though for people that are interested. Like he gets up at usually around between like midnight and 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening. That's what ends up has been happening over the past few years, with the exception of last year when I had a crazy ass windstorm that delayed me up until like about 8 a.m. that initial morning. But the initial plan, while Tyler is dying right there in the corner.
No, it's a silence. I'm sorry for coughing in the microphone. It hurts so bad. You know what really sucks is when you choke on your water, and the only thing to make the water not stop choking on the water is by drinking more water. It's the worst. I apologize, Gables. Continue on. I'm gonna mute my mic.
Okay. But like what I was saying though, when it comes to like what we do with Extra Life, I start off with waking up like around midnight, and then I start doing my things that way. Like, for example, I work the day, and I work all the way and stuff like that. Then, like, a few hours later, I go to bed. Then I get a good solid, like, maybe 4 or 5 hours and stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's like I wake up around midnight, and I start gaming from midnight, from that night to midnight the next morning. And I find it to be probably one of the best things to possibly do, because your body and its, and its, like, dynamics and stuff like that, you're more akin to, like, morning to night, as opposed to like say morning to night to morning, because your body's going to feel incredibly tired doing it that way. Where I kind of felt like, okay, if I go midnight to midnight, I'm going to feel a little bit better and not so much like out of my mind, like the years that we've spent, Tyler, where it's like we're literally like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and like we're just almost like dead because of the whole. Oh,
yeah.
God.
And we still got, like 6 hours to go.
Oh, absolutely. Got the whole 6 hours to go and stuff like that. It's like the 2 or 3. It's like the dead zone in terms of, like, our interaction stuff. Or we're just drained. And we just feel like we just need to feel like we need, like, something like almost like a pick-me-up in that regard.
Yeah. It's like nothing you're playing is hitting either. So it just makes it even worse.
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing also, that for people who do want to participate in stuff, if you can go through and play with a group of friends or some, or have groups of friends or some, will actively like get into your chat and stuff like that while you're playing games and stuff and just talk with you and stuff and try to keep you on point and stuff, that's for the best. Absolutely. Because I know there have been times when I've played stuff and like either Tyler comes in, joins my chat, starts talking, or that one of our friends, Nerves, comes inside, wants to like do that, or you're... Or our friend Justin or something like that, where it's like he comes in, does this and that. But having that sort of a support system while you're doing like a charity thing like this, it's the most, it's definitely important to keep you sane.
Yeah. We call that like, you get the person that's not participating, but they just come to play games with you. We call that the ringer, especially like in those late night stretches when you're getting, it's getting middle of the night, getting late. It's like I'm usually in bed by now. And if you get somebody that just jumps in and either just bullshits with you or play some games with you. Yeah, it did. They're coming in, fairly fresh. Sometimes you get Wes coming in super drunk in the middle of the night.
That too.
Yeah, so if you can, yeah, if you can get people like that, just like, hey, can you just, if you're free that night, come in, jump in and play some games with me. Like, break up the monotony,
Yes.
yes, of things. That would be great. Yeah. So, or if you could just get other friends to participate with you too, that helps. Like, Gables and I will just sit in a party chat and we'll play games and just kind of like chit chat with each other throughout the night and throughout the day to like kind of, keep tabs on everybody, make sure we're staying awake and. Just have a conversation, someone you can at least have a conversation with throughout the day. 'Cause, yeah, it can be pretty tough if you're sitting there by yourself. And,
Oh, absolutely.
especially like in the late night part when it's, super late and you're extremely tired and you don't even want to play video games anymore, but you only got a few hours to go. So yeah, big recommend on all that. But, like I said, extra-life.org. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see, they're like down here at the bottom, there is a, there's the website down there, extra-life.org and all that. They are on like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There's a Discord channel. They're on Twitch. So many ways to follow them and keep up with the journey and everything like that. And really great thing that that they do and that we could do and play some games while we're doing it. So it's a
Yes.
win-win for everybody. Help the big beautiful kids out there and play some games. So it's pretty cool. But Gables, let's move on and get into a lot of some of the big news this week. Not like really three major, pretty major, major news stories this week. Starting off here, Gables. This is kind of like the new one, but it's been like heavily rumored for a while now.
Yeah.
The PS5 Slim. It's not even, they're not officially calling it the PS5 Slim, but it's a smaller version. It's coming in November. We didn't we really enough. We didn't get a date for it. It just said November. And some of the details we have here is I believe they said it's like 14% smaller than the PS5. I think it's like. Someone did the math. It's like an inch and a half shorter, and I can't remember what it is like girth wise. But it's smaller that way too, obviously. But they did reveal that there's gonna be a digital and a disc version. The disc version is 500 as it's always been, but the digital edition will cost 450. Some different details about the launch digital and the new digital is that the original was $400 and it had 825 gigabytes of storage in there, which is weird. It has less, but the new one will have 1,000, so it's 175 more gigabytes. But it is kind of a backdoor price increase, something that we've been seeing for a while. Unfortunately, is usually this time, in this generation, we're starting to see prices go down on things. Now we're seeing the last like few years, the prices go up on things. Some more things that's going on here is that the disk drive. So this is the thing that Tom Henderson from Insider Gaming he kind of leaked earlier this year that it was put. Not only was it coming out later this year, but that there would be a disk drive. He in his report he said that the disk drive would plug in to it through like a USB-C cable, and it'd be like
Okay.
so it would be a separate. It would be like it'd plug into it, but it wouldn't be like attached to, like. It would basically just be like a separate thing that sticks out of your PS5, which just sounded hideous from the beginning. I'm like, why would they do this? Actually, not the case. With the Slim, the kind of cool thing is you can actually take the side panels off super easily. You no longer have to use any tools or anything like that. A big part of that is they're saying that so if you want to get bigger storage for it, and if you buy the digital edition, you can easily just take the side panel off, stick the new disk drive into it, and pops right in, and you have a disk version. The downside is though, if you do buy the digital and decide later you want to have a disk drive, it is $80. So it's an extra 30. It's $530 for that instead of the base 500. And another crazy thing here is that the even though like when they originally revealed it was the PS5 was standing up. It only comes with like this little tiny like metal piece that makes the vertical stand or the horizontal stand, and you have to buy the vertical stand separately. And that is $30. So, yeah. How you feeling this one, Gables?
All right, I'll start off with something positive. For the PS5 reveal here for like the remodeled revision of this system, I like the ease of access in terms of switching out the disk drive. I
Yeah.
mean, that's something I do like with that. How it looks, how it is, almost looks like it's seamlessly you could just slide off a panel, go through and just replace a disk drive in case something goes wrong, or in the off chance you decide to get the digital version and decide, oh, I want something more here. I want to pay another $80 or something like that, and I try to do this. You know, it's like you have the option to do that as well, but I don't know, man. It's like the system itself is mostly just reduced in terms of the plot, in terms of like the overall bulk and stuff of the original design. I mean, I'm not sure what else they have gone through and like say changed in regards to the system itself.
They've like shaved off plastic pieces here and there, which is not unusual. That's kind of what happens. Like they kind of go overboard with the launch models, and this is like across the board, everybody. You know, then they make updates throughout, like or like the Switch, like a Switch a year later had like a better battery life, stuff like that. So we do see like minor improvements from the launch ones on, even if like it doesn't, we don't notice it as like, you know. Or like this, like the Xbox and the PS5 and stuff, like they've had less plastic on them, so they've already like made them a little bit smaller. This one's just kind of a drastic change, so.
Yeah, there's definitely a drastic change in terms of the look of it. Also, in terms of going through and cleaning stuff, replacing parts. I mean, this is quite honestly the easiest I've ever seen like a console be really consumer friendly in terms of like making sure you can clean it decently or you can remove the parts easily and stuff like that. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
that I like of it itself. But I know the look of it. I don't like the look of it or
Gables,
that.
the disk drive PS5, you know when you have like a zip up hoodie on and you sit down, it poofs up on you?
Yeah.
That's what the disk drive PS5 looks like. It
Yeah, I know
just
that.
looks like it has a hoodie on and you sat down and like it poofed up and now it's like sticking up and you look like you're pregnant.
Yeah. But honestly, you know, I don't really like too much of the original PS5 design either,
I didn't
but
mind it.
at the same point, you know, it's like no matter I just feel like no matter what they would have designed it for, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much because with that stripe, yeah, going on to that system and stuff with the whole stuff
Yeah.
just kind of makes it look sort of weird.
Yeah. I mean,
But
we did see the leaked screenshot like a few months ago, but it was like, is this
yeah.
real? This could be easily faked and turn out to be real. I mean, part of that little slit there is so you can like pop it on and off. So I get that. Yeah. I don't know how much I like it either. It'd be kind of cool though if like you can like I imagine like people will do this, but like you can like put something in there so like you can make it light up. Like
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Like a
they
lit up.
probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure like third like Etsy and you could probably find people on Etsy that will get that you could buy that shit through, but I don't know.
I know when it comes to the whole controversy, oh, hey, it's like this thing's gonna be, if you buy the digital version, you know, it's like, oh, this is gonna be $80 and stuff, you're gonna be overpaying, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Well, quite honestly, now we're getting to the point and stuff to where there will be some people that will want to buy the physical PS5 games, but I think it's kind of smart by Sony to go forth and charge the $450 on this one because you get like more storage than initially what the original PS5 digital was.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you know, it's like they're giving you the option to where if you choose to do so, you can do it. But I got a feeling that the most of the people are going to buy that system and stuff like that are not even going to bother with physical stuff anyway. So it's
Yeah.
like, it's really, I can understand people's gripes about it. I mean, it's stupid too, you know, you're overpaying if you do it that route as opposed to just paying the 500 for an actual disc version of that same PS5. But I think it's really cool though, where it's like it's a little bit more expensive than say like with Xbox and what they do with their Series S.
Yeah.
But
This
at the same,
has the same amount of power though and the same amount of storage
yeah,
as a
exactly.
base, so that you know that's you know compared to the I think like the S is like what 512 gigabytes, so
Yeah.
that makes the difference there.
But overall and stuff, am I interested in like this type of PS5? Well, no. Myself and like all people I've already established with having PS5s and stuff are perfectly content with what they have. But I'll tell you what, if I was somebody that waited this long in terms of getting into this generation with PS5 or the Xbox Series systems or something like that, yeah, this would be the type of console I would end up getting because not only is it smaller than what the bulk PS5 has, but it's going to be incredibly easy for you to go forth and find update, like upgrade storage for it with like those M2 drives and stuff like that, and like the whole aspects of changing out certain custom parts and stuff. And quite honestly, the way this thing looks and stuff, you probably can go forth and easily do like custom jobs on this thing too if you choose to. But yeah, man, it's I think this is going to be a good thing for new, like, consumers woman in, though. But for people who already have PS5s, I mean, this is just like that whole, like, lull period before Sony tries to eventually go with, like, another, like, PS, like, another pro model the system. Which I really do think that it's probably going to be sooner rather than later with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been rumored for a while that they're planning on releasing that next year. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of with you. Like, it does suck that, like, we have the kind of the backdoor price increase for the digital edition. Yeah, like, I do like the option of, like, being able to update later with the disk drive. That's, like, something that kind of sucked. Like, I bought the Series S, and I was really happy with it. And then it's, like, you start seeing, like, the difference. Like, you know, the kind of the power. Like, I'm not a huge graphics snob, but it's, like, goddamn. Like, look at some of these games that are coming out soon. It's, like, man. And, like, you start seeing, like, the difference of how they're going to run on the S and the X. And it's, like, upgraded that, and it's like, man, if I could have just, like, if say the S was like in parity with like the power of the X, but just was the digital edition,
yeah,
and I could have just paid $80 to $100 for a disk drive instead, and just, you know, instead of paying another $500 for an X,
yeah,
that would have been awesome. Like, it's, yeah, it's great having those options.
Well,
you know, consumers love having options, and yeah, like, so if like, I don't need a disk drive, and you buy that one, it's like, actually, yeah, I kind of want that, and I mean, but this is kind of, I don't like, you know, taking out the vertical stance, like, how much does that thing cost you? Like, fucking dollar, maybe? I don't know. I get,
yeah,
I guess, like,
I hate that vertical stand, dude.
Yeah, I mean, my issue is just taking it out, like, in general, like, making you pay an extra, like, just a way to, like, get a few more dollars out of their consumers and shit like that. That shit sucks, but I mean, that's something that's been going on for a while. Like, when the new 3DS came out, they stopped putting the charging cable in with them. Like, we see that with iPhones, they give you less and less stuff, and they're making them smaller, but they're charging more. Now they don't even have a headphone jack. They don't even, like, they don't come with the charging cable. And we see that across the board, like, where they're trying to squeeze as much money out of these things as they possibly can and get you to pay extra. Fuck, when the Switch doesn't even come with a real, you know, gaming controller, yet it comes with the Joy-Cons, which are technically controllers, I know. But, like, no one enjoys playing the Joy-Con controllers on your TV. Like, when you're playing the game on the TV, it's awful. Nobody likes a little dog thing that you stick them on.
Exactly. You know, why play that when you have the pro controller?
Yeah, but you have to pay an extra $75 for that separately. So it's like, this is something that's been going on for a long time, and I'm not defending it whatsoever. I'm not saying it's okay. Like, it sucks. It's bullshit. But this is, like, their way of, you know, getting a little bit more out of, you know, they gotta get every penny they can out of consumers, and this is their way of doing it. I do think that, like, that PS5 Pro, if it does come out next year, I'll bet money, Gables, that thing comes out next year. Mm-hmm. It's $550 to $600, and it does include a disk drive. You got to buy the disk drive separately.
Okay, for which now?
For the Pro. If the Pro comes out next year.
Oh, think, absolutely. If this thing comes out,
yeah,
Tyler, I think you're going to be on the money with that, dude. Because if Sony does go through with a PS5 Pro unveil, like, say, by holiday next year to try to contend with Nintendo's next system during that next year or something like that, then it's going to be around that $550-$600 range.
Yeah.
Even though that sounds kind of crazy in the grand scheme of things, but if they go through and have things bulked up to the point to where it is more appealing, I mean, we're not even at the point, we don't even know what the fuck a freaking PS5 Pro is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, what it's going to look like. What's the selling point of this thing?
Yeah.
Gables, you can't just tout it with just fucking graphics, dude. I mean,
well, I mean, I think that's the big thing they're going to push, because that's what most consumers are going to, like, oh, crap, it's going to look better. My games are going to look better. Fuck yeah. Problem is, like a lot of people, like, don't have, most people, I think, you know, consumers don't have the, like, TVs you need to, like, actually, like, really show off some of the things. Like, I don't have it. I have a 3-year-old TV that was brand new. Yeah, it was a new version of that TV 3 years ago, and doesn't even do, like, doesn't have the VRR, doesn't have, can't do 120 frames per second, stuff like that. And so I imagine a lot of consumers don't have that, or don't have an OLED. So I've always said, like, going to the Pro and the Xbox One X, you know, last generation, it's like, that was like 4K became affordable.
Yeah.
And, like, we know, okay, cool, like, we're pushing 4K and HDR. That's the two big selling points of thing. And it's like, to me, that was worth it. Like, the HDR alone was like, oh my God, like, this is gorgeous. What's the selling point of the PS5 Pro? Like, what's the, like, they're going to put 8K in the box again? Cool. Like,
they
nobody
could
has
8K. Do that. I mean, they could do 8K. They could try.
I mean, it's
to
on, it's on the box right now, like, on the base PS5, but it's like, very few people can, like, those TVs are extremely expensive, and very few things actually use it. So, I don't know. Like, the only thing I can think that maybe, like, you know, because the PS4 Pro, they just added like an extra stack. They made it like a double cheeseburger instead of like a single cheeseburger. I hope what they do instead is they added a second disk drive on the other side. That'd be cool. So now it's like it sticks out. Now they have disk drives on both sides. That'd be cool, I think.
Well,
even though I go ahead.
Dude, you want to know what'd be really kind of cool and stuff like that, which I probably Sony's not going to do because Jim Ryan is gone now and stuff like that. It's like, what if they did like that PS4 Pro or something like that, to where not only did they do the basic things that we expected to do and stuff like that, but they have something to where they make like backwards compatibility or something like that with like the bunch of their older titles, more like emulated, like upscaled better in terms of like the quality and scale.
That would destroy the whole point of premium, which there's very little point for premium PS Plus premium at this already. And it's like
it doesn't necessarily have to be like with like your physical discs that your own. I'm talking about like the download stuff, even if it includes like the whole.
No, they don't want to do that because they want you to get premium. So, and they just, you know, they just jack the price of that up to $160. So it's like, here, pay for this. We have cloud streaming now. Woohoo. So I don't know. Otherwise it's like, yeah, it's like annoying. Like it's definitely like a lot of annoying business calls they're doing here, and we know why they're doing it. Like they're selling a console with less shit in it. It's smaller, so it's going to be cheaper for them to manufacture. Mm-hmm. You have to buy more shit separately to actually get like what a base PS5 gives you now. So, but I mean, that's just, unfortunately, I don't know. It's hard to get like, I'm not happy about it. Like it's annoying, but like, I don't know. It's like, this is just the world we live in now. So, moving on, Gables. This one luckily did not cost any of us a dime, but did cost us 22 months of our lives. That's right. Activision is finally owned by Microsoft after Gables 22 goddamn months. It's finally over.
I mean, almost 2 years, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over. Like, we're still gonna like talk about it here and there, but we can start talking about the good shit. The shit, like the exciting parts of, like, there was that initial excitement of like, oh my god, think about like, what if, you know, Rare can work on, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot, or Toys for Bob can work on fucking Banjo-Kazooie, like all the pie in the sky ideas and stuff like that. And now they own them. Now we can actually start talking about that. We might start seeing some games come to Game Pass here in the future. They did say, though, Activision did say that they wouldn't start coming until next year, which they specifically mentioned Diablo 4 and Modern Warfare 3. I forgot this initially, but I had to be reminded of this, that Modern Warfare 3, obviously PlayStation has the advertisement rights to it, so they can't put a day and date on Game Pass, I believe, until either in 2025 or 2026. I can't remember which one it is, but at the earliest 2025 is when Call of Duty can come to Game Pass day one. I don't know if there's any like details stopping it eventually coming, like, you know, if like Modern Warfare 3, say in 6 months or in a year when the new Call of Duty comes out next year, then can they put it on, or they have to wait until then? Doesn't sound like that's the case for previous ones, at least. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if like in January or something they just start dumping out a bunch of like older games. Kind of something we saw when they bought Bethesda. They bought Bethesda and then like pretty much immediately put up a bunch of like their older titles. Like they put up like Evil Within 1 and Dishonored and games like that. And like Skyrim, I think, was on there, like Fallout 3 and stuff. And then like the more recent things like Doom Eternal and shit like that was like came out like a few months later, like the ones that were more recent. So I can see that. I won't be shocked in like if that happens. And then the big thing here, Bobby Kotick said that he is planning on leaving. He's going to stay with the company until the end of 2023. So not sure if that means he's gone January 1st, but at the very least he will be gone shortly after. So
it
fuck that
definitely
dude.
It definitely does imply that he's leaving not too long after like the first of the year starts, you know. I mean, you know, him riding his golden parachute all the way out of the video game industry.
Getting nearly half a billion with a B dollars on the way out, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It's like, I don't care if like he is riding a parachute or he's getting the fucking all this money and stuff like that. He's not going to be fucking up Activision Blizzard.
Yeah. Gables, imagine being so bad at your job that they pay you $500 million to go away. Or like the fact that like Microsoft paid $69 billion, nice, to then buy your company, then to tell you to leave, and then also give you $500 million to go away. What
Dude,
does
I cannot imagine that at all.
Yeah, like Gables, if we get fired from our jobs tomorrow, we're lucky to draw unemployment. Like this guy fucks, like royally fucks up a multi-billion-dollar company, and he's getting, I mean, he like the guy's already like probably got hundreds of millions of dollars.
The dude doesn't have to worry about anything else about the rest of his fucking life.
Yeah, like this guy probably already has everything he needs, and he's just gonna get another $500 million to go away. So
yeah,
must be nice. Gables, where did we fuck up in life? What are we doing? What if, man, like I man, give me like it's like the dude at Unity, the CEO there, John Riccitiello or whatever, like he left,
dude.
And he's getting like $150 million bonus for leaving. It's like, fuck me, man. What
can I just say, up until this week I had no idea that fucking the old CEO of EA and stuff, Riccitiello, was actually working in the gaming
no,
industry
me neither.
Still, and as the freaking CEO of the fucking Unity system.
Yeah, the guy's really good. Well, the problem is he's really good at fucking over consumers but making a lot of money for his board, which, CEOs work for the board. So he did his job, made them all a bunch of money, and then he's like, all right, see you. So, goddamn, what the fuck? What are we doing with our lives, man? I want to just, like, I'm going to work my way up to be, like, a big wig at a company and just royally fuck up on purpose. Just so they can, like, as soon as I sign, like, a big contract, I'm going to, like, fuck up so bad. And I'm going to get, like, hey, just, like, you don't have to give me, like, $500 million. Like, hey, here's, like, $2 million. Just please don't come back to work tomorrow. Sold. I'm out.
Well, what I can say, though, I mean, I'm very happy that this deal finally went through. And also, I'm very happy that the thought that Bobby Kotick, after 33 years is up, is finally going to be leaving the freaking gaming industry sooner rather than later. But what I'm more interested in now is seeing the plans between Microsoft and Activision Blizzard King in regards to this whole plans and forefronts. I mean, we already know that there's not going to be any substantial games added to Game Pass really until like about 2024 and stuff. Some. Obviously, Call of Duty is like a different beast in and of itself. But also the plans like on given franchises, you know, like what's going to go on to the improvement of, say, like Diablo 4? What's going to go on with, say, the improvements of, like, World of Warcraft? What's going to be going on to, like, the improvements of, like, many other Activision Blizzard King, like, games that were worked on, Overwatch included and stuff, and see how this is going to be improved upon now that Microsoft owns it. Like, is it going to be... It's a literal, like, billion-dollar question, because the success is...
$69 billion question.
Well, yeah, it's a $69 billion question and stuff. You bought this company, and you bought these assets and stuff, these properties in and of itself along with it. Now, their task is to try to avoid what happened with, say, like, with Bethesda when they acquired them, with Redfall, you know? That type of situation they want to avoid at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely do got their work set out for them, because Overwatch 2 right now is... it's kind of going the way of like a DOA, you know, Dead or Alive sort of like thing rather quickly. And so getting a good quick rebound with that, I would think would be a good priority probably for them. But also with World of Warcraft, you know, it's like that has so much mess in terms of not just multiple different things for new users to come on or some, or to try to satisfy long term like users for that game in and of itself, that that's another can of worms. And like I was stating before, dude, it's like Diablo 4, that game launched, it got some great reviews, and you try to go back and see like what people are saying about it now and stuff, they royally fucked up in terms of their seasons.
People are pretty upset about the content drop since then.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's because of the way Activision Blizzard King implemented a lot of their various artifacts and stuff like that for these characters, and it just screwed up the entire kind of flow of things on top of other factors as well, you know, like, say, things in terms of mobs for enemies and like things with that sort of stuff. I mean, I don't know too much about the inner details because I didn't even play that game, because obviously can't really blame me, because there's so much of a barrage of other types of games that we've had a chance to experience this year.
Plus, it came out the same week as Street Fighter 6, so you're a little busy.
Yeah, exactly. Street Fighter 6 took priority.
I'm still playing Zelda, so.
But at that same point, the question lies upon Microsoft's doorstep here. You know, the $69 billion Question, what are you going to do with these properties that will not only get them back on the right track, but it's going to make it awfully lucrative for everybody going around here?
Yeah.
So that's the initial question I have in mind that we'll most likely see, not immediate, but let's see what happens over the next year.
Yeah, I mean, what's gonna suck is it's like we're not gonna see like major dividends like for us right away.
No.
Because I mean, obviously we talk about all the time, games take way longer than ever to make, and then so many of the studios at Activision, the big issue with like besides the sexual misconduct stuff going on that was going on there, that was really bad.
Yes.
But like just like in the business side of things, the making the games part, that was the whole reason they sold was because they got rid of every other developer and made them go work on Blizzard games or made them go work on fucking Call of Duty. So
Yeah.
all of these teams are pretty much probably gone at this point, or like people have left, or they're like
Oh
they're
yeah.
just now they're no longer like we're Toys for Bob, but we're working on this. Like now they're just part of let's say Raven or Software or whoever. So it is exciting to see like like they have all these studios, all these companies, all these developers there. So it's like a matter of like how quickly can they like spin off like some of these teams to like go make other things. I'm a little upset, Gables. It's been 48 hours and we still haven't heard about Tony Hawk remake with 3 and 4. Like what the fuck are we doing with that? Just announce that right now.
That'd be fun.
Bobby Kotick oddly was mentioning Guitar Hero might come back. Fuck off. Nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, like the problem is like they've been handed a fucking mess. They gotta first off untangle the mess and figure out like it's just a bunch of cords in a box that are all completely have been sitting in there for years. They're all tangled up. Before they can even figure out where the cords go to, they gotta untangle all the cords before they even start getting anywhere with this thing. So I imagine, yeah, it's gonna probably take a long time to get that figured out. I'm sure like obviously when they before they bought this thing, they had a general idea, and in the 22 months since they announced they're purchasing it, they probably figured a lot of things out. I doubt in business, like, yeah, you're not technically supposed to make any plans or talk to anybody about anything.
Right.
I'm gonna guarantee I'd put down every goddamn dime I have that shit was really going on behind the scenes and just never was talked about. Because of course it does. That's just how business works. A lot of shady shit happens.
Yes.
So I'm sure like they've already got the ball rolling on some things and
Oh,
they already
yeah.
got some plans in place. But yeah, we'll see a good boost for Game Pass games here, I imagine, in the next few months, and that's awesome. Yeah,
Oh,
I'm just
I
looking
look
forward to,
forward to
yeah, Black Ops
that.
coming to fucking Game Pass would be awesome. Like, cause you go on like the Xbox store and shit. Like, you go look, like Black Ops is still like $50 on the Xbox Live store. So,
Yeah, and for good reason.
yeah, definitely don't want that. Yeah, I mean it's a fantastic game. Like, I'm just ready to go, fucking go and jump in some maps again and just check that out. So, yeah, I'm just curious what it's gonna be like. And part of the problem is too is I keep like I jokingly said about the Tony Hawk remake thing. Like, yeah, now it's set now, but. And part of the problem too with Xbox is kind of the big thing we've been nailing them for is they just keep announcing games and then they take years to come out or we still
Yeah.
haven't seen them yet years later. So it's like you don't want to like immediately, like I'm sure they're gonna announce a couple games that are like ways away, but it's like you don't want to like immediately like announce like five fucking games coming out like that you're still like 3 4 years away from. So
You
it's a
focus upon
balance.
the it's like you have to kind of focus upon like the games and stuff you got going currently and stuff most frequently first, and especially what's going to be coming out then like the next year and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll have to wait and see. But I'm excited. I'm not a big fan of consolidation and stuff like that. But part of me is just very happy this is over. Because it's just been annoying to like the online discourse. Every fucking podcast was talking about it, and so everybody we've just been spinning our wheels for 2 years now. Or now we could just get to the good part. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. So, but yeah, pretty exciting day on Friday for that. And I'm excited for all the employees there. Hopefully. Things get better for them there as well.
Absolutely.
Most importantly. So, well, unfortunately, though, we will be seeing when these massive mergers happen, there will be gigantic layoffs because of, well, they have a lot of people that already do those same jobs for Xbox and Microsoft, and I won't be we're gonna be a lot of redundancies there. So, unfortunately, I'm sure there's gonna be some mass layoffs in the next couple of weeks, which will suck. It's already been a pretty shitty year
Yeah.
for people in the gaming business that work in games. So. But I don't know. Sure, a lot of people are probably waiting to get their severance and shit. So maybe they're happy about it. Who knows? Next up though, Gables.
Yes.
Sorry, one second. Ah, I hit the wrong goddamn button on the show notes. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. Anyways, speaking of giant mergers, Disney, there's been some push for Bob Iger to buy EA. Like it came out in some stories here that I don't know where it was in. Like it was probably some sort of meeting that some executives at Disney were wanting to get into the gaming business. And they mentioned EA as a potential buyer. They're like one like the, is there, how many big, like, you know, independent, and I use that loosely, like non console making game developers are out there, publishers are out there in the America. Is there, how many left are there at this point? Like Ubisoft is European, but they do have American based studios.
That's true. That's a tough one, Tyler, because
is it EA? Is EA like the only one?
EA is like the only one that's like big to the extent to where they would be considered. I think right now they're pretty much considered the biggest that's not been acquired by like a big major company.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. So like I paid a little bit of attention over the last year or so of like what's been going on with Disney. Like Bob Iger was like the CEO there for several years. I can't remember. I think like multiple decades, I believe. And basically right before COVID hit, he's like, yeah, I'm retired. And like he dipped, perfect timing, saw that coming, and threw a new guy in place that like ran the parks. And obviously,
yeah, Bob Chapek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And he was like the guy he was like grooming to take over for him. And I mean, obviously COVID hit, that fucked up a lot of things. And then coming back from like, you know, COVID and everything like that, like they've been in kind of a rough space, but like he was kind of handed, here's Disney Plus that we're investing billions of dollars in. That's going to lose a lot of money. Figure that out. Hey, COVID's happening. No one can go to the theme parks. Also, all of our major movies can't go to the theaters, or they're going to go to theaters and not make nearly as much money as we were expecting. So good luck, pal. Also, ESPN is like, you know, that's a thing that's obviously been struggling for a long time now. So problem with that company is it's kind of so massive that they need like a lot of talk from people. You know, like I understand, like I've been saying, like, you know, they need to like get rid of some shit. Like they spent a bunch of money on Fox for content, and like you probably, I can't remember how much they spent, but it was like multiple tens of billions of dollars for the Fox IPs and 20th Century Fox and all that. It's like for the content for Disney Plus. It's like, well, now we see kind of the streaming bubble is kind of not bursting, but it's no longer just try to get as many people into your service as possible. Now it's like, we want to make money. We see like Peacock is losing like $3 billion this year, I think, on their service, because they like overspent on a bunch of shit just to try to get content. Netflix, like, still making money, but like for the first time ever, they actually like lost users, but like now it's going back up. So it's kind of like we're seeing that like people are kind of maxed out on services, and
yes, they are.
You know, it's like, and they're getting more and more expensive. Like Disney Plus just like doubled in price year over year. Used to be if you wanted to buy a year, it was $80. Now it's $140. So, yeah. So fuck off with that.
Agreed.
Yeah, but like now the bundle for like if you want the Hulu, Disney, and ESPN Plus bundles, they're like $20 a month. Yeah, like they also they own Hulu, but now like Fox own like I think like a third of Hulu, but they agreed to buy out the rest of it, and they had to buy it out before I believe the end of this quarter, I think. So they have to give Fox even more money for this thing that's not making any money. So it's a giant clusterfuck going on there, and now
yes,
it's like,
it
hey, buy EA. Let's get the EA. Like EA obviously is very successful financially. Like obviously, like Madden and FIFA, just make up the money. Like they can make a lot of bad decisions, but they still have Madden and FIFA bringing in like around $1 billion a year each.
With microtransactions.
With microtransactions, with the Ultimate Team, stuff like that. Like they sell, obviously, like Madden and FIFA are like two of the highest selling games of the year. On top of that, but yeah, then the big thing is like the microtransactions and like stuff like that. But those things like kind of cover all the bases for them on top of it. We do see that, like, you know, obviously Disney had the exclusive deal with EA for like 10 years of Star Wars. Obviously, we know how that went, didn't go well. But recently with the Star Wars Jedi games, and they just signed a three game deal for Marvel games. They're making the Iron Man and a Black Panther game for them. And there's a third one, but they haven't decided what it's going to be yet. So they already have deals in place, and they've had deals with them for a long time. But it's like you've spent billions of dollars on these server, like on the, these are things that you're like, you're kind of too big. Why invest billions, tens of billions of dollars more on this other thing? And it's like, we've already seen where the gaming industry is going. Like it's still selling, it's still doing really well, really, really well. This is like one of the best years ever for like money earned from gaming. But we've seen all these layoffs. We've seen all like the growth isn't what they thought it was going to be. So it's like, why invest now? I don't get it. I don't think it's going to happen. But what about you, Gables?
The thing about this that doesn't make any sense to me is they're already getting diminishing returns upon a lot of their investments that Bob Iger did before he left to begin with. And once he put Bob Chapek and stuff, and a lot of stuff started hitting the fans, on top of the fact that a lot of the quality in terms of what they were producing in movie things going sour, a lot of things going the TV stuff with like Disney Plus going sour. But when it comes to the business sense, this doesn't make a lot of sense in order to go forth and acquire Electronic Arts, especially when you're already hemorrhaging money and stuff off the wazoo because of all of these other factors and choices you made for your theme parks, like increasing costs there and then increasing costs exponentially for your streaming services not doing as well as you thought it would be doing by now. So when it comes to this, the only thing I could think of if they were trying to acquire Electronic Arts is if they sold off a couple different assets and stuff in order to try to get enough money to do so. And when I think about that, it's like I've seen like a bunch of different things online, some rumors, some I've read a couple of things like maybe liquidating off Hulu to some like maybe, oh, I don't know, Comcast or some shit like that. It's like
I mean, Comcast is NBC, which is Peacock, and I think they don't even like they already have Peacock that's not doing well, so.
well, I understand that. I understand that. But the theoretical and stuff is they could potentially sell off a couple of different things of assets and stuff from either Hulu or Star Wars or whatever the fuck. But at the same point, it's like for them, for the Disney company right now to go forth and invest instead of Electronic Arts and stuff, I mean, it what it would happen is you're banking on the fact that Madden and at this point, like FC football or something like that,
Yeah,
or
that's right.
FIFA, this whole stuff will remain lucrative in terms of their microtransactions that are going to warrant you purchasing them for so many, like this time, like what, like how many millions of dollars or something like that? Maybe like close to about, I want to say, let's see, trying to think of the exact amount that Disney would have to pay in order to acquire Electronic Arts. I kid you not, it's going to be cheaper than I think it's going to be. With Microsoft just purchased Activision Blizzard. I think it's going to
Activision
be like
was,
about a 40 or 50 billion. That's
yeah,
what I
it's
think.
still gonna be a fuck ton of money, but yeah,
Yes, it
like
is.
Activision was bigger because they had Call of Duty, and
Yes.
Blizzard and King, well, King also just prints money too, but yeah, like it's still gonna be a massive investment, and yeah, like FC Sports or whatever the fuck it's called now and Madden, like they're selling their sales are better this year. They're making more money this year than. In previous years, so like that doesn't show any signs of stopping, but it's like I don't like that you can't like I don't know like we thought EA is doing a better job at like they've really doubled down on single player games and not forcing in not making everything games as a service like they have that, but also they're working on other things too like also Apex Legends doing really well for them. It's not as big as it once was, but still a thing that's successful for them. But yeah, like they are one of the ones that like did a good job of like diversifying. Like what else they did, not solely relying on
Right.
games of service. And like, yeah, like I said, they started making Dead Space. They made the Star Wars Jedi games and It Takes Two and shit like they're doing, I think they've done a really great job of like kind of, they're slowly turning that image around that they've had, the bad image they've had really since, what was it, John Riccitiello from the 2000s, the godfather of the loot box. And they're slowly turning that around and like, the studio that, with the publisher that would buy studios just to close them down in 5 years. So they're shedding that, which is, I mean, it's something that's good. It's like we're just trying to find positives and a bunch of negatives here, but
Right.
yeah, I don't foresee this happening. Go ahead.
I don't see it either. Honestly, I don't see Disney even remotely trying to acquire any type of video game developer or any type of like major publisher and stuff because they've been so active in terms of like just getting rid of like certain things from the inside in terms of like themselves developing gaming content. But I could see like maybe like another company try to go forth and maybe acquire EA, maybe like a Sony. But at the same point, it's like we're in a situation here where it's like Disney cannot invest more billions of dollars already,
no.
you know, than what it's already done.
Yeah, they're trying to shed money here, not
they need
spend.
To shed.
Yeah. Yeah, like ESPN is like, you know, cable is slowly dying, but everything we're seeing like sports and everything like that costing way more money. So they're giving them way more money when they're making way less money, but because they need them to stay relevant. So
absolutely,
like who, like how much is that even worth to sell off for? Like, yeah, like it still generates money for them, but it doesn't to the level it used to, and it's only going to get lower and lower. So it's like, how much value is that worth to people, like someone else to buy it? I mean, we did, and plus like. We've seen what Disney will do with, like, they had Disney Interactive that they just closed down, like, a decade ago, maybe a little bit more, a little bit longer ago.
Yep.
They, like, just got rid of Disney Infinity, like, right before they were about to release a bunch more. Like, they literally had warehouses full of, like, Disney Infinity toys that are about to ship, and they just canceled it out of the blue. Mm-hmm. They bought Star Wars from Lucas, and they immediately closed down LucasArts. Like, I don't know if I want them... dabbling in video games. The CEO that there now was the CEO that was there then, so I don't know if I want him, you know, fucking with this stuff. And I mean, we have seen EA almost merge with Comcast last year or 2 years ago, and Andrew Wilson was gonna like run the company overall, and that fell through. So it's not crazy to think that EA might sell to somebody, but also after the Microsoft Activision everything took 22 months and all the FTC and CMA and all these things. Like, it's harder than, like, it's like if Disney tried to buy EA, I don't know. I honestly don't even know if they would make it through. Like, and like I talk about, like, yeah, it's exciting because Activision got bought by Microsoft because it gives us some hope that I'm like, it's not a slam dunk. It's like a bunch of great things that happen. They can eat Microsoft and Xbox and easily fuck up Activision. But,
yep.
Like, it gives you, like, oh, cool. Like, this thing that was, like, not looking great, and the vibes were off Activision, and it's like, cool, Blizzard's fucked up, Call of Duty's like just shitting out games of this, like they're still super successful, but like they struggle to even put a game out this year. You know, they don't have anything else on the horizon other than Call of Duty. It's like oh, it's exciting from that prospect as a gamer, like, hey, things might get better because they weren't looking great before. But it's like, I don't know, it's like how is this better for anybody other than, yeah, you know,
exactly.
a bunch of stockholders and board of directors are going to get a fuck ton of money. So I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't know if this consolidation thing is over. I sure hope it is, but we'll have to wait and see. Gables, speaking of ridiculous amount of money, Gables, Lego announced the Animal Crossing set, a bunch of sets coming. We've already had like Donkey Kong and Mario in the last couple of years.
Right.
And on par with Animal Crossing, you will have to take out a gigantic loan to buy some of these things, because the Tom Nook set, I think, is like $75. There's a, like, they all range between like $15 and $75. And man, some of these sets are fucking a joke. I mean, I get it's like Lego can charge a fuck ton of money because people will buy. Like,
yeah.
Every now and again, I want to like buy like some like really cool shit from like Lego, and I look at the price and I'm like, no. Like Dom's car from like Fast and Furious is like $100, and I might, like, I have it saved in my Amazon account, like, so I get alerts when it goes on sale. And if it goes on sale, it might go down to like $80. Like, that's like there's the Horizon Lego that I want. It's like, that's like $100. Like, maybe it's like 90, I can't remember, but it's like that thing when it goes on sale, it's like Nintendo games, man. Those things like go down in price that very rarely, and when they do, it's like $10. So people out there, like, you know, I think Bobby Kotick might be the only person now that can afford Legos at this point. But yeah, I don't know. Like, they look kind of cool, but like, man, one of them was like $15 for like, it's a dude in a boat. It's like, what? I don't know. Gables, I don't know if you've seen some of the shit, but
I haven't seen a lot of the different sets, Tyler, but at the same time, I'm not surprised that it costs that much. All the licensing fees and stuff like that Lego has to go forth and pay in order to try to acquire the sales of like these different types of sets and stuff. I mean, I've seen them at like Walmart and stuff like that, like the various like Lego sets. I mean, some of them can range anywhere between like maybe $20-something to like over $300.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like some of those things like cost well into the, like, you can buy a fucking PS5 in like three other games, some of these. So
yep.
Yeah. That was kind of cool though. Like, they're out, people that want to buy them, but my God. Next up here, like, you know, we talked a lot of shit about this game. This game's getting kind of dragged through the mud, so I want to give a little shout out here, like a little positive update on Redfall. They did do a massive update last week. It added 60 frames per second. Also, stealth kills are in there. They did fix the AI, so it's a lot better. And this made some more, like a major patch came out, did a lot of updates to it to make it run better and get better. I don't think it's going to majorly change anything, but especially right now, like, I don't even like if it came out in like a dead zone, I don't know how much it would have made a difference, but you know, it's cool that like they're still doing it. They, you know, I don't imagine it's going to like make it have a major turnout like a No Man's Sky or anything like that, but I don't know. I just, you know, like I said, that game has been dragged through the mud quite a bit. And I just want to, you know, I want to give a shout out to them for, you know, improving the game a little bit at least.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I mean, granted, it's nice that they went through and updated the game with some of the issues in regards to what was plaguing it to begin with.
Yeah.
From what I've heard of, also from what I've seen, it's like at least it makes sure that the game is like at least okay in terms of like try to go through and play through.
It,
but yeah.
Yeah, this might like, you know, I think it's like a 57 on OpenCritic. Maybe now it's like it'd be like a 65. So it's still not, like it goes from like a pretty bad game to it's a game you can play that you can easily sink your hours. Obviously, a lot of these issues are like don't fix the core issues of this game. I don't think you can, but
yeah,
I don't know. Just want to stick. It's just, you know, it's so easy to be negative out there, and it's just, you know, I just want to throw a positive out there. Going back to negatives though, Gables, Best Buy did announce that in 2024 they are getting rid of physical sales of all their movies, Blu-rays, TV series, stuff like that. So those will be going away early next year. So I mean, we're seeing this now, like you know, it sucks. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Physical video game sales are slowly becoming,
and it hurts consumers.
Yep.
In the long run too.
Yeah, but I mean, this is all about, like, you know, I said about business. Like, they're, you know, now they get 100% of the money. You know, when you buy a game on your Switch or PS5 or Xbox, instead of like Walmart getting 30% of that cut. Now, scared the shit out of me. A fucking dog like hacked. Jesus Christ! Wow, that really hurt my neck too when I jumped. But like instead of like, you know, Walmart getting 30% of the cut or whatever, like now it's like, you know, PlayStation gets a bigger cut. You know, if it's an EA game, EA gets a bigger cut. So I get it. And plus, you can't resell it. So, and they charge the same price. So it's a win for them, but. You know, I'm kind of the in-between gamer where I like the games I know I'm going to play multiple times, or like a Madden or God of War or, I don't know, fucking like Super Mario Wonder or Tears of the Kingdom. Like I buy those digitally, but like Mortal Kombat 1 or, Forspoken or stuff like that. Like games I'm going to like only play like maybe once if I like, or not even finish at all. And like, I'm never going to, after I beat the story, I'm done with this thing. Like I buy those and I trade them in. Like, you know, trade-ins is how I buy a lot of the games that I get. So,
right.
It does suck. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but this is the future. We've already seen it. We saw it 20 years ago with iTunes, and Spotify now and YouTube Music and all that. We've been seeing it with like, with the streaming services and now like, you know, Amazon Prime Video, we can just buy movies on there and stuff like that. So, and also it's, you know, like I don't have the space for, to have a, you know, a bunch of, you know, video game cases and stuff like that. So it's like, it's easy for me to like only buy the ones I really want, or like, or buy the ones I'm going to trade in, or maybe I'll buy like a limited run game of a game I really like. So I don't know, Gables, what about you? I know you're obviously the big physical gamer guy. Like you buy your games physically. How you feel about this one, buddy?
I absolutely hate it. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah.
In regards to any type of brick and mortar retail and stuff phasing out a lot of the physical media stuff, I mean, it doesn't surprise me with Best Buy, because Best Buy really hasn't been doing all that great in terms of their financial stuff over the past few years. It's actually been trending downwards with a lot of the different things. So I know from pretty much like going through a couple different like type of videos on YouTube and like going through different types of things, like I actually happened upon like one of the videos, like I think it was like on Thursday night or something like that. I was watching a video by Gaming Off the Grid and stuff. These two guys are going through, like, talking about the different article and stuff like that in terms of the whole, what Best Buy announced in terms of their physical media stuff by, I think it was trying to eliminate that before, at least during the whole first quarter of 2024.
Yeah, it's going to happen somewhere in there. So,
yeah,
video games will still be a part of it, but they just announced movies and TV shows and stuff like that, so.
Well, yes, I understand that. But in terms of, like, say, in terms of, like, say, like, selection, when you go into a store or something, and, like, there's any, like, physical movies or physical games or something of that sort, you know, I mean, I was watching them, like, one of the guys go through his store and stuff. It's like just a shelf. It's like, it's just a rack of, like, just here's a line of, like, movies and, like, another rack. Okay, here's a line of, like, some of the games or something like that. That's it. You know, that's like a whole bunch of the digital, that's a whole bunch of the physical sort of, like, stuff going to present and stuff like that. But that aside, you know, I definitely don't like this because of what things you've already touched on before, where it's like it's less power to the consumer, less control for, like, the consumer and stuff, and more of a sacrificing, like, control for convenience for a lot of different things. But when it comes to specific gamers in general, you know, it's like there's a reason why gamers go through and try to get, like, the physical form stuff. And it's a choice that, like, gamers like myself make, is because we want to be able to do what we want to do with different games, whether or not it's to buy it, to resell it, to, like, say, replay it, like, a couple of years down the line because we happen to go forth without having the fear about going onto a online service or something like that, and all of a sudden, like, overnight, like, the licensing or guess something gets pulled and stuff, like it has for the past couple of years, you know, with Konami with their Metal Gear Solid games digitally on
But
services.
yeah,
And
at least those you can still download them if you own them. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you can't buy them anymore. But it's like, fuck, we've seen that with, like, you know, like GameStop years ago. Like, would stop you couldn't sell Destiny to GameStop anymore because it's like, or they get like they wouldn't even take them for a penny. Like, they wouldn't give you a penny for them. It's like, we just have so many. It's like, no one, like,
Well,
or
exactly the
like
point. That's this.
Battleborn, like you can't even play that game online. That was like one of the first big ones I remember, that like online only game that like closed down last generation. Or like Overwatch now is like, you if you have the disc, it's just Overwatch 2 now. So it's a losing
Well,
battle
yes,
on all regards. Like,
absolutely.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 literally is like an 80 megabyte download on the disc, and then it just kind of like takes you to the store, and then you download the game from there.
Yeah, I know, right? It absolutely sucks when it comes to stuff like that because that's not even really considered to be, like, a physical sort of, like, disc in and of itself, because the vast majority of stuff you're downloading is on a server anyway. But in terms of that, you know, it's like it just kind of more or less accelerates the thoughts of, okay, well, Best Buy is doing this now. What's stopping, say, retailers now, like, say, like Walmart or some, from doing the same thing on their storefronts? Because I've been through multiple different Walmarts and stuff. Their gaming sections are getting freaking bare in regards to what they have inside the main stores and stuff. There have been rumblings, from what I understand, like, from online stuff, and then phasing out the physical Xbox games, which I can understand
Yeah, I heard
that.
that too. Yeah, which the Game Pass kind of kills that.
I can understand that. The Game Pass stuff quintessentially killed off a lot of that stuff.
Well,
But,
the only pushback I have for like Walmart and like Target, stuff like that, is like those are like, for a lot of them, are grocery stores, and they sell a lot of items. People go there for several different things, so it's just like you walk by the electronics section, so they have those. Best Buy is very, it's kind of going the way of like a Radio Shack or like a Circuit City, stuff like that, where
well,
it's like
yes.
you go there to like you like but now it's like you can go to Costco or Walmart, anywhere, you can get a pretty nice TV there. Best Buy is now for like tech junkies, and if you want to buy like a washer and dryer and stereo equipment. So it's a
Well,
very
yeah.
niche, it's turning into a very niche audience of like what they have there. So it's like, I get like why it's okay, we can focus more on these other things. It's like we've seen like GameStop now, they push more like push a lot of Funko Pops, and they push like t-shirts and stuff too on top of their stuff, because like it's not, just selling new and used games isn't enough anymore. So yeah, like
Well, that's the
it's
thing, man.
eventually gonna slow down. I agree, but I think those have a way to go. And I keep people hear everybody saying like, oh, I think next generation, like, it's just gonna be pure digital. You can't even buy them in a store. I still push back on that. Obviously, we still are probably another 4 or 5 years ago in this generation, so I can easily be wrong. I just think that the next consoles will be like what I think the PS5 Pro will be, where it's gonna come out, it's gonna be discless, no disk drive, and you have to buy a disk drive separately if you want one.
It would be incredibly stupid if they just go incredibly just digital only for every single thing without the added use of, like, having some sort of physical component to it. You know, you need to have choice of, like, both sort of aspects and stuff to really have, like, the consumer to really give or take, like, what they want to go forth and do with their money in some of this aspect. But when I thought Well, one other thing I really thought, though, in terms of this announcement, though, was like, say, a lot of the future elements in terms of like certain forms of physical media, you know, because, well, Walmart, from what I understand, like in terms of their movies and like music stuff like that, they have like 45% of the market in that regard. So, like the physical presence stuff. This is not accounting to say like what Amazon goes through and sells with their stuff, but, when it comes to a lot of the physical product, you know, I can really see like sooner rather than later, you know, a lot of those things, if you're not able to get them like inside of like a main retailer, say like a Walmart or a Target or something like that, I could just really see physical media stuff just like kind of going up and up in price, because if there's no new content that's being put out like a physical form because they choose to go the whole digital route in terms of the media, you know, like for movies or TV shows or something like that, you know, I probably am sort of like, maybe I'm going to be unfounded with saying this though, but it's like, I can really see it to where a lot of the secondhand, a lot of the different types of things are going to go up in nature to try to get the things that are already established in the market.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's already starting to happen somewhat with certain gaming stuff, because here you have a lot of the gamers that have been around for a long time, like some that predate us, obviously, Tyler, but yet some people like around our age and stuff like that are kind of sort of thinking the same thing, where it's like, okay, most of the stuff is not even being like physical in the traditional form of physical. Like, it's maybe halfway, you got to download a lot of your content, or halfway or something, or just go completely digital or something like that with initial game, right? So it's like, when it comes to those, when it comes to that scenario, it just feels like, it just really feels like more gamers, rather than like sooner rather than later or some, are just going to go and just kind of look up and stuff. Like, is it really worth just like having like some of these stuff like in physical form? And if not, go backwards in terms of like trying to find what your different games and stuff that you know are great and stuff like that, that may become even more scarce because of the fact that, hey, now that we don't have new product that's going to be coming through in physical forms in certain like retail stores and stuff, what's going to stop? What exactly are we supposed to do to try to get like stuff that we do own in that regards? But then again, I'm thinking more of like, say, 5 or 10 years down the line than the initial reaction to what this news is. Because all we know right now is like, this is what Best Buy is doing. We don't know what Walmart's going to be doing. We don't know what Amazon's going to be doing. But I will say, just a off-the-cuff statement is like, it'd be incredibly stupid just to do away with this, all this, the physical media stuff all at once for all the different
No.
retailers,
No, I think
because it would piss off
it's gonna come
everybody.
in waves. It'll slowly happen, then it'll
Yeah.
just become the norm. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see though. That's like I said, that's a ways away. Gables, let's get into what we've been playing. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first, buddy?
You know what, Tyler? I want you to go
All
first.
right. So,
Those birds are really
yeah,
going
what
at
the
it.
fuck's going on there? They should be sleeping. Sorry about that, people. What the fuck are they doing? Anyways, I've been playing. I've been playing a couple games this week. I played. Sorry about that. What is happening in there? I'm not. You know what?
What?
I have no idea what's happening in there. Fuck it. We're gonna move on. Sorry for people if you can hear in the background. Anyways, so Lies. I'm playing more Lies of P. My dog just threw up. Gables, I'm gonna have you.
Oh,
There's a mess going on over here. I'm gonna have
you
you
got
go
yourself an
first, buddy.
emergency here.
All right, I'll be right back. God damn it.
All right, well, you go ahead and tame the zoo. I'm gonna go ahead and start talking about what I've been playing here. So, I'm sorry, man. It's like I'm just seeing all this action just happen right in front of me. It's just really hilarious. But what I have been playing, I've been playing a little bit more of Crazy Taxi on Dreamcast. Old games are old, but at the same time, I've been learning a couple different tricks in regards to Crazy Taxi in and of itself. So, for example, when you go through and you start like when you go through and start playing the game, the initial thing I started learning about is like, this is like this instant boost thing to where you shift like the drive and the reverse and stuff like that, like at the, not at the same time though, but like you shift the drive and like the reverse and stuff like that, in order to do like little bit of like boosts and stuff while you're trying to drive around, like escorting different people to the different like spots and stuff. that's one of them. I've been getting better in terms of like drifting, and also in terms of like do like miniature boosts and stuff. And quite honestly, my goal with this game is to try to get like the crazy license to it, which I have been super close. I mean, I have been relatively close. I've gotten as high as S tier for one of like the escort stuff. I basically set the game on for like the original mode, like arcade stuff, for like about 10 minutes. I've done like 10 minutes where I've actually helped about 17 people get to their destinations and stuff, and like this and that. But I've only been playing with like with the one driver, the original, like the first driver you get to select your axle. I really like the music. Obviously, the music like by The Offspring and stuff like that. That's really nostalgic. That's something I really like. Very memorable. I really love the arcade racing sort of feel with Crazy Taxi and all this other stuff. Obviously, I'm going to be playing a little bit more of that to see if I can fill up the crazy box stuff and eventually get that the crazy license sort of stuff out of the way. I did play a little bit of F-Zero 99, stuff like that. Just a couple different races. Nothing really like substantial or anything of that sort. But when it comes to any other types of gaming stuff, I have downloaded Lies of P. I do have like obviously Starfield on my system and this and that and stuff. But my gameplay has been sort of like kind of like on the wayside a little bit, because I've been playing a little bit of like retro games here and there, plus F-Zero 99, but I've also done like a hell of a lot of research in terms of trying to play certain Dreamcast games I wanted to go through and do, going through like deep videos in terms of the comparisons between ports of like Sonic Adventure being one of them. Oh, the differences between the original Dreamcast port and then the GameCube port, all the glitches and shit and stuff. But what I didn't realize is that GameCube port was ported to PC, which then was that PC port, let's see, that port from PC was ported to for the Xbox 360, and then that 360 version ported onto Steam and stuff, meaning it's a port of a port of a port of a port. Meaning there are a bunch of shit inside of these versions and stuff that are kind of wacky, sort of like a lot of hitches and stuff. But the end result is, yeah, some of the game stuff is pretty interesting, but at the same point, you know, it's not. There's some aspects are not as good as like the original version of it, but yeah, that's just an example of stuff that I had been going through and researching, plus discovering very quickly, hey, I'm pretty much being like outpriced in terms of some of these games I can go for the acquire. Like, for example, Cannon Spike, the game that's like literally over two to close to almost $300 complete in box. Which, you know what? For a game that only lasts for like about God, like not even like an hour or something like that, or at most for like a playthrough for that stuff, you know, probably better off like going through other methods potentially. Or if everyone just happens to drop into my lap or something by God's green earth or something like that, maybe I'll try it out. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing for like gaming this week, Tyler. Nothing really eventful, but at the same time, it's going to be picking up rather quick.
It's kind of I'm in the same boat where I'm just kind of like playing stuff to kind of get through really next Friday. So I did play a little bit of
Yes.
Forza. I played like an hour of it. I talk about like I was kind of excited to just play a racing game where like I'm not in an open world setting. Where's your problem, Lou? Jesus Christ. My God, he's having gee, I have to let him out here soon. But yeah, I played a little bit of Forza, and I thought, like I said, I was like, kind of excited for like oh yeah, playing a racing game that's just a racing game. I played like an hour of it. I played like four or five races. I'm like, you know, I just don't like Forza that much, motorsports that much. You know, I don't think it's a bad game. It's gorgeous. It plays really well. They all do. They have a ton of like, if you like, you're a car guy, like they have that for you. I'm none of those things. I like a good fun racing game, but it's like, I just don't like it's the simulation side of things where it's like, I like Horizon more because of the arcadiness of it, but it's just like, I like a little more arcadey version, but like a non-open world. Like they made like a smaller Horizon game. That'd be fucking awesome. But, yeah, just sports motorsport. Not for me. Another game, not for me, Lies of P. It's about last week. It's funny, I've done this 2 years in a row now where fucking I play our two games in a row now with Wolong and now this where like I talk about like I played the Wolong demo and I kept trying to beat that first boss and I couldn't beat him. And then the very next day, my first attempt, I beat him. So I did that on Sunday morning. I beat him finally. I got to chap. I beat the chapter one and two. I'm on chapter three. I put like my time, my game timer says like 6 hours. Sounds about right. I talked about like kind of like I got like really good at Wolong and stuff. Was like I just kind of over leveled and I went in like and like I'm just not very good at these type of games, but I just went over leveled and like kind of just outlasted the bosses and stuff. I got decent at parrying, not great, but anyways, I'm on level 45, just finishing chapter two and a little bit of starting a little bit of three, and it's not for me. I part of the re I think I like Wolong more because it's a lot faster, and also like they're like areas instead of like an open area, like a whole open map, like you're unlocking sections as you go. I think I like that one more just because it's like the areas are smaller and I don't know. I think I just like that more, and like the fact like it's Wolong is just much more fast paced. Liza P is a lot more, you know, it's a lot slower. You really have to focus on the stamina bar more than like Wolong and stuff. Like you have to focus on it, but like you can do a lot more attacks, and like I said, it's a lot more fast paced. And Liza P just, I don't think it's bad. I get totally get why people like it a lot, and like I enjoy it. Like I definitely got was like getting stuck in that loop of going around and like just going around a loop and killing a bunch of guys and racking up souls and stuff like that, but. Yeah, just not for me. I just wish, you know, if a little faster, I'd be really into it. But like I said, I think it's definitely see why people love it and saying it's like if this was a FromSoft game, this would be a game of the year contender, as a lot of people are saying. So that's obviously the highest regard from FromSoft fans. So yeah, so take you know take my obviously take what I'm saying with a grain of salt on that. And then next up, Peter Gables, I finished Telltale's The Expanse. So I played the first two episodes. Like they're coming out every other week. Starting in, I believe at the end of July, I played the first two episodes because they're, you know, like I said, every other week, and then like episode three came out like right, I think like the same weekend or like really close to Starfield. So obviously Starfield took up a lot of time, and then it was Cocoon and a couple other games on top of that too. I was playing, so all the episodes are out now. I think they all came out like a week or two ago, and finished that today. Did episodes three, four, and five. Come away really liking it. I've talked about if you if maybe if you didn't see from what was that last month, two months ago when I played the first two episodes, like I talked about like I went in with like no like I only ever watched the first season of The Expanse and kind of fell off, and this actually made me go back and start watching the show, and I'm almost done with season four. I kind of same thing was like with the game with the Expanse game. Once Starfield came out, like I really hit a wall. Like I watched like the first like four seasons basically, and like. I started from season two, and then because I already watched season one like a year or two ago, and I went through like those first like three seasons in like probably like 3 weeks, a month or so, which is pretty fast for me. But yeah, I kind of hit a wall because of you know plus football and shit too, taking up a lot of my non-gaming time as well. So I'm definitely trying to go back to that here soon. Maybe like I'll jump into the Expanse here as we have a few days between some major games coming out.
Oh,
But
yeah.
anyways, really came away happy with it. Liked it a lot. It's a little weird because it's like you play as Drummer, who is one of the main like one of the characters in the TV show, but it's a prequel of the TV show. So in the and in the books as well, it's actually based off a book originally, a book series originally. And it like, it kind of has some issues where like they kind of tease like her dying and stuff like that, and it's like, well, I know she's not gonna die because she's in like. She's obviously very important to the story of what's going to happen in the TV show in the books, so it's like I had some issues with that where they kind of tease some elements of that, but they have like your crew with you that kind of a really cool thing. Something I don't like Telltale usually like I really like their storytelling. I like their games a lot. Like I'm admitted over and over again, I'm a Telltale fanboy, so obviously take what I'm saying with a grain of salt because I'm gonna be overly optimistic and overly positive more even more than others, but. Kind of like the main gripe against them is like when you play the game and do like the opposite choices, they don't end up being as drastic as you think they would be, in some cases, or it's like you know like you end up kind of going down the same path, you just kind of get there a different way, or you end in the same place but you get there a different way, and this one actually like is drastically different. It's more like a Supermassive games like the Quarry or what's their other big game that was a PS the PlayStation 4 game. Supermassive. It's on tip of my tongue. Tip of the tongue. They make the Dark Picture Anthology games. Anyways,
Until
Until Dawn.
Dawn.
Yes, thank you. They, you know, it's kind of more like that in the sense of like, like anybody can die, except for like Drummer, obviously. Spoilers for that one, I guess. But if yeah, like anybody in your crew, like you have a crew of people, any of them can die. And it's like, in some ways, like you don't even know how, like it's things that you, decisions you made 2 episodes ago that can lead to that or stuff like that. So it's really cool and like adds a lot more to it, where like it really feels like it matters what you're saying and doing. And it adds a lot of replay value too, like as well, because it's like, you know, I lost this character, like could say episode 3. It's like, fuck, they, you know, what happens with this character if they survived or if they made it a couple more episodes or whatever. So, yeah, I ended up coming away very positive with it. I'm happy with it. I don't love the graphical style though. Like they use a new, I think they used to use the Unity engine. Right. I just think the faces are really weird looking and the mouths are like really big and distracting when they talk. So, actually very much like the Supermassive game. Sometimes like their mouths like are very weird and move awkwardly. So, kind of have that same issue, I guess, different art design, but, similar issues, but, yeah, came away, really happy with it. And I recommend checking it out. I think it's like $40, but I've been seeing it going on sale for like 20, and stuff like that recently. And sadly, a bunch of the Telltale employees were laid off a few weeks ago. So heart goes out to them. It sucks. You know, hopefully, they said they're still working on like Wolf Among Us 2 and stuff. So hopefully, you know, that happens and hopefully all the people that lost jobs, you know, find a home, or at least got a decent salary on the way out the door. But yeah, I don't know. I know also Deck Nine helped co-publish this one, which I love Deck Nine. They make like they made Life is Strange, True Colors, which is my favorite game from 2021. They also made like Life is Strange, Before the Storm, which is my second favorite Life is Strange game. So they make those really great games as well on top of it. So really two really good teams colliding together, and I hope they're able to do it again sometime, because I like where they're going. Just, man, fix those mouths. It's very weird. It's very awkward. Very, very off-putting. But yeah, that's what I've been playing, Gables. So yeah, think that might do it for us this week, guys. If you guys are liking this and enjoying the show, please like, follow, subscribe. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch. We stream the show on Twitch every Saturday night, but then the podcast will go up in the morning, Sunday mornings. It'll be, you know, wherever podcasts are served. We're on there. So just search for us, Drunk Nerds. You'll find us, you know, give us a review, 5 stars, comments, stuff like that. Share, tell your friends, really, really appreciate it. And people out there, like, you know, I post a lot of shorts on our YouTube channel every day. And, we're getting a lot of views on those, like a ton of views, like multiple thousands of views every day on those things. Fucking subscribe, people. Give a thumbs up. It's very frustrating when you see like a video that's got like 2.6 thousand views. It's like, oh fuck yeah, and then you look, it's like 17 likes. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. Maybe I'm like overly just like giving on the thumbs up to like people. You know, when I see videos I like, and just give them a thumbs up. It helps them out. You know, you know, people do the same thing. And if I really like them, you all subscribe. So do that, because it'd be, you know, we're trying to get to. Now that YouTube changed the rules, you have to have like 500 subs to start actually generating some money. So it'd be great if you help us get there. We're like 130. We've been stuck at like that number for quite a while now, for like a few weeks now. So it'd be nice if you know, some people out there throw us some likes, throw us some subscribes, and leave a comment and shares and tell your friends and all that stuff. But you know, whatever you like, you watch us, like us, whatever. Really appreciate it. Like there's a description down below. There's links to everything. So Extra Life is down there as well. I'll link down to that. So yeah, anyways. Thank you guys so much for watching. I was your host. I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah. Be sweet. Be sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.